Today's daf is Yuma daf Memches, and we have 14 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis Bein HaBeinayim. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rufu Shalema. For Shlomo ben Sarah Liza, Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, David ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak Isaac ben Rechama, Miriam bas Sarah Dina, Menachem Mendel ben Yehudas Chaya, Avram Menachem ben Leah Edel, Yaakov ben Gittel, and Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka. Today's daf is being learned as a schus v'yecheskel shraga ben Miro, and today's daf is being learned l'ilui nishmas Avram ben Yibad l'chaim toivim Ramoshe Chaim. So the topic of today's daf is going to be the special ketores that was brought on Yom Kippur, and in many ways, today's daf is a continuation of yesterday's daf. So the Torah in Parshas Achrei Mos, when it goes through the unique avodah that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, mentions that one of the things that was brought unique to Yom Kippur was a ketores. That ketores was not brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the Mizbeach HaKetores. That's where the ketores the whole year was brought. But rather, this special ketores was brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Pasuk says, V'lokach meloi hamachto gachli esh me'ala mizbeach milifnei Hashem. The Kohen Gadol should take a shovel and he should shovel coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzoy. Additionally, he should take a meloi chofnov ketores samim daka. He should take two hands full of ketores, the heavy mi beis la paroiches, and he should bring it to the other side of the paroiches, meaning he should bring it to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Pasuk, when he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the nosan es haketores alo ish lefnei Hashem, he should take the ketores and he should put it on the fire. The chisa anan haketores es hakapoiros, and the smoke is going to rise from the ketores, it will cover the kapoiros, asher al ha'edos v'lo yomos, and if he does that, he will not die. Otherwise, it sounds like maybe it's not going to turn out so good. But regardless, these two psukim in Parshas Achrei Mos describe the special korban, the special avodah that was done on Yom Kippur, the special ketores. Now, when the Torah says that the ketores should be brought, it says it should be a meloi chofnov of ketores. And we saw a little bit in yesterday's daf, we'll see a lot more in today's daf, that meloi chofnov meant that the Kohen Gadol would take his two hands, he would put them into the shovel of ketores, scoop them up, he now has two hands that are filled with ketores, and it's that ketores that's being brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now from the Pasuk itself, it sounds like that's the way he walked into the Kodesh HaKadosh. But the Gemara said in yesterday's daf that that's really not what happened. There was one other step that the Pasuk doesn't mention. He would take the meloi chofnov of ketores, he would put it into a kaf, and he would walk into the Kodesh HaKadosh holding a kaf. In fact, he would be holding a machta in one hand, a kaf in the other hand. The machta had coals in it, that was in his right hand. The kaf had the ketores in it, that was in his left hand. And the Gemara says, even though usually you would put the more chashuv thing in your right hand, the less chashuv thing in your left hand, and the kaf of ketores is for sure more chashuv than the machta of gecholim, but being that the gecholim was heavier than the ketores was, since for that reason we just want to be practical sometimes, so we told the Kohen Gadol, your stronger hand is your right hand, so therefore the machta with the gecholim was in his right hand, the kaf of ketores, which was a little bit lighter, that can go in his weaker hand, that can go in his left hand. But here's the critical point for today's daf. The way the Kohen Gadol got the ketores, or better, the shear of the ketores was meloi chofnov. And the Mishnah said that really meloi chofnov could depend on the size of the Kohen Gadol. And that was in fact the halacha. Hagadol lefi gadloi, v'hakatan lefi katnoi. So if the Kohen Gadol had larger hands, then the meloi chofnov was going to be a larger shear. If the Kohen Gadol had smaller hands, then the meloi chofnov was going to end up being a smaller shear. But the shear was a meloi chofnov, and he had to do an act of chafina in order to get the meloi chofnov into his hand. He would stick his hands into the ketores. We'll see exactly how it was done in today's daf. That's how he got his shear. The Gemara said that this avoida of chafina, this shear to meloi chofnov, is similar to another avoida and another shear that you find in Kachin. That is the shear of koimitz and the avoida of kemitza. So the kemitza was done with a mincha. A mincha was a carbon that was made of flour. Different types of menachas, in fact, many different types of menachas. But the point is that a mincha was, at its core, made of soilus. And the ikar avoida of the mincha was, the kohen would come, and he would have to stick his hand into the seilas, do an act of kemitza, and separate some of the seilas from the rest of the seilas. The result of the kemitza was that the kohen now had a kohemitz inside his palm. He would take the kohemitz, walk into the mizbech, and he would be makdir on the mizbech. And the Gemara drew a parallel between the kemitza of the mincha and the chafina of the ketores on Yom Kippur. Between the kohemitz of the mincha and the maloi chafna of Yom Kippur. Now again, they're really very, very different. One is a carbon mincha, the other one is a ketores, one is kemitza, the other one's chafina. But atzad hashava shabahen is that the kohen is using his hand to do the avodah, and really the resulting shear of what's now going to be offered is going to depend on the size of the kohen's hand. So from that standpoint, there's definitely a parallel between the kemitz and the chafina. There's definitely a parallel between the kohenitz and the mleich chafka. Not just that, the Gemara said they're even connected on a gzera shovel level. The Gemara says it says mole by the kohenitz, and it says mole mleich chafna, which means that there's some energy that connects these two ideas. So again, on some practical balabatisha level, they seem to be a little bit similar. We even have a gzera shava that seems to connect to the two. Regardless, what we saw was that there's some shaykhis between the kmitz of the mincha and the chafina of the ketores that was brought in Yom Kippur. So on that note, Zok de Gemara, Boi Rapapa. Rapapa asked the question, Bein Habinayim Shal Maloi Chafnav Ma. What's the halacha regarding the Bein Habinayim of the Maloi Chafnav? So Bein Habinayim means any little bit of ketores that would be stuck in between the fingers of the Kohen Gadol. And his question was, is that considered part of the ketores, or is that not considered part of the ketores? Now, this Gemara is obviously a segue from the previous Gemara. Previous Gemara had discussed the halacha of Bein Habinayim regarding the Mincha. So when the Kohen did the kemitza, what's the halach of the Bein Habinayim? So the Gemara said like this, that if you have any particles that are facing the inside part of the palm, that for sure is considered part of the kemitza. It goes on the mizbeach. If you could see it from the outside of his hand, then it's for sure not considered part of the kemitza. What if it's mamish lodged in between? So the Gemara says that was the ibaya of Rabbi Yeshua ben Oizah, and the Gemara says, hoder pashta, and what was his pshitus? Safik. That the Bein Habinayim is like a Bein Hashmashes. It's a safik, and the truth is, we don't really know what it is. So what do you do if it's a safik? So the Gemara says, you just try to find a kohen that has fingers that's going to result in there not being any Bein Habinayim. That's the best option. If you can't do that, so the Gemara worked it through a little bit. So we know what the halach is regarding Bein Habinayim when it comes to the mincha. But Rav Papa Shaila was, what about Bein Habinayim? Shemaloi Chofnav. So the Gemara says, Maikam Yivoyle. I don't understand what the Shaila is. Igam Amaloi Maloi Mehasam. Hainu Ach. Really, it should be telling you whether you learn out the halach Amaloi Chofnav from the Kaimis. And that was really something that the Gemara discussed in the previous daf. So if we compare the Ketores to the mincha, so then the mincha, what's the halach of Bein Habinayim? Facing inside, you makter it. Outside, you're not makter. If it's mamish in between, it's a suffix. That should be the halacha of the ketores. If we don't, then it shouldn't. Like, what's the svara that there should be a problem of Bein Habinayim other than the fact that it's a problem by mincha? So really, the only time it should be an issue is because by mincha it's an issue. Okay, so that's the shailo. You want to know if you learn it from mincha, you don't learn it from mincha. This is something that was discussed already elsewhere. So the Gemara says, no, Rapapa hachi ba'ili. Rapapa had a different side. He wanted to know. It says in the Torah, maloi chafna vehevi b'inon veho'icha. At the end of the day, the Bein Habinayim is, it's part of the maloi chafna. So if all you need is that you should be makriv the maloi chafna, l'chur, it's part of the maloi chafna. Idoma v'lokach vehevi b'inon v'halakha. When the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol was supposed to take the maloi chafna, it says v'lokach Meloi hamachta gachle eish, umloi chafnav ktoiris vehevi mi beis laparoichas. The word velakach sounds like you're supposed to have intent. It sounds like you're supposed to have in mind to take, and that you had in mind to take, you should bring lefnai v'lefnin, that's where you're supposed to be machner. And the Gemara is making an assumption that the Bein Habinayim is usually not included in the intent of the Kohen Gadol. So when the Kohen Gadol does the chafina, he's probably thinking of taking the ketores, but he's not really thinking in terms of the Bein Habinayim. So he's not thinking in terms of Bein Habinayim, that would be an issue. Meaning the Gemara, so what would be the problem of the Bein Habinayim because it's torn down from mincha? Okay, so essentially Yeshayla is, do we say that all the halachas of chafina mirror the halachas of kemitza, or do we not say that? The Gemara says, no, that's not true. Rav Papa held that kumi, even on the tzad, that chafina doesn't necessarily have to mirror kemitza, but there's still a tzad to say that Bein Habinayim would not be included in the ketores, because it says velokach, with a mitzvah strichas kavana, dover hamischave, you had in mind to take the ketores, then behavi, being that you never had in mind to take the Bein Habinayim. But Kengel's not trying to get the Bein Habinayim. Sounds like a psik reisha, but he's not really trying to get the bein aminam. He's trying to get what's inside his palm. So therefore, maybe only that's going to be included. Amar Rapapa, Rapapa said, Pshitali, I know. Meloi kumtsoi, when it comes to the kaimitz, kidemakamtsi inchi. So the way you're supposed to do kmitza is kidemakamtsi inchi. Now the truth is machlekes rishonim exactly what this means. Rashi learns that kidemakamtsi inchi is as follows. The kohen would take a bowl. The bowl was a klisharis. The mincha was placed in the bowl. This is before the kmitza was done. So the first thing was the mincha, which is a bowl of flour, mixed with oil, sometimes not mixed with oil, and it was placed inside this big klisharis. The kohen would then take his hand, and he would do kmitza. Kmitza means he would take 3 fingers worth of soiles outside of the bowl, halacha, walk it to the mizbech, he'd be makdir on the mizbech. So the Gemara is going to discuss now, what's the process of getting the Kmit, the koimetz, into the hand of the kohen. What is the act of kmitza? So Rav Papa said, you're supposed to do it, kidemakamtsi inchi, the normal way of doing it. We don't do kmitza today, so we don't know what the normal way of doing kmitza is. But the way Rashi explains is, the normal way would be for the kohen to be holding his hand vertically. So his thumb will be facing up, his pinky will be facing down. He then would put his hand into the bowl, again, pinky facing downward, thumb facing upwards, go right through the silus is soft, so you can penetrate it, take 3 fingers worth, that's the kmitza, and take it out. That's the way you're supposed to. But Rapapa, Rapapa said, this is what I'm not sure about. Komatz beroshe etzba oisav mai. What would be if you didn't do it that way? What would be if you did it beroshe etzba oisav? So roshe etzba oisav would mean where you took your 3 fingers and you bent them into the bowl and you picked it up that way. So instead of the thumb facing up, the thumb is actually to the side. Your hand is facing downwards, the palm is facing down, you go flat into the silus, and you scoop up the 3 fingers, or milmata lemala mao. What would be if you did a lemata lemala? So in that case, you're doing it in the exact opposite of komatz barashi etzba oisav. Your palm is facing upwards, and you go with your 3 fingers, right? You just have your 5 fingers, they're all parallel to each other. Palm is facing up, back of your fingers facing down, and you go underneath the flower, and you pull out 3 fingers worth. What would be the halacha over there? Or he had a third shiloh. Minat stadim mao. What would be if you did it minat stadim? So that's similar to milmata b'malo, but instead of going underneath, what you're doing is you're coming from the side. So again, your palm is facing up, the back of your hand is facing down, but instead of taking your 3 fingers and going from the bottom and scooping up 3 fingers worth, you're just coming in from an angle. You're coming in from the side. Min hatstadim. So it's like milmata milamayla, but it's min hatstadim. What would be in all these cases? And Rapapa said, teiku, tishbi yitarits kushis v'abayis. We're going to have to wait until Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Tishbi comes in order to explain. So I'm Rapapa. Rapapa said that this same exchange, meaning what I know for sure, what I'm not sure about, regarding the kmitza is true, regarding the chafina as well. When you do chafina, you're supposed to do it the way people do it. So what's the right way to do chafina? Moving now to the k'tayros anyam keper. The kohen gadol would take his 2 hands, and he would go into the bowl, again, this was a machta, bring them together and scoop up the malay chafna worth of k'taris. That's for sure the way he's supposed to. What if you came from the top, like we said earlier? The same 3 shailas that Rapapa asked regarding kmitza, he said, what would be the halacha regarding k'fina? Now, here he had another shaila. What would be if you did the malay chafna in the right way? Right hand, left hand. But instead of bringing them together as one, first you brought one, then afterwards you did the other. It was bizu, ubizu, the carven zu eitzelzu. So you did chafina with the 2 hands individually, and then afterwards you brought together. What would be the halacha? Same answer, teiku, we don't know. But you wrap up, another child. Dafke l'koymetz bedufne demanamai. Moving to the kmitza, so we're going to be going back and forth between the kmitza and the chafin. So what would be if the kohen, after he did the kmitza, so the next thing he had to do was he had to take the kohenitz and he had to put it into a klisharis. So again, the avoid of the mincha was, the entire mincha was first put in a klisharis, then the kohen did kmitza. After he did the kmitza, he would take the kohenitz, he would put it into a klisharis, walk the klisharis to the mizbeach, take the kohenitz that's in the klisharis, and be marked around the mizbeach. To understand it on a slightly deeper level, the avoidus of the mincha had to mirror the avoidus of a carbon. We know a carbon had 4 primary avoidus. Shchita, Kabbalah, Hilach, Hazrika. Shchita ones, they shechted the carbon. Kabbalah was the dam, not all the dam, but some of the dam had to be received in a klisharis, the klisharis then had to be walked to the mizbeach. That's halacha. And once it came to the mizbeach, there was a zrika. The dam was taken and it was spritzed on the mizbeach. The mincha was also a carbon. Now there was no shechita because it's not an animal. There was no blood because it's not a living being. But at the same time, it had to have four avoidis that would mirror the four avoidis that were done with the dam, the four avoidis that were done with the carbon. So the carbon had shechita. The parallel shechita, the mincha had kmitza. The carbon had kabbalah, a kohen would stand with a klisharis to be makabal the dam. The parallel to that in the mincha was the kohen, after he did the kmitza, would place it into a klisharis. The carbon had halacha, walked the dam to the mizbech. The kohen also had to be walked to the mizbech. And the carbon had zrika, the dam was spritzed on the mizbech. So the kohen was the same thing. It had to be place, and it had to be burnt on the mizbech. So we're discussing now, Rapapa's next shiloh, the Kabbalah of the Kmitza, which means taking the Kaimitz and placing it into a Klisharis. So Rapapa wanted to know, the normal way to do it is to take the Kaimitz and put it into the Klisharis. It's pretty straightforward. What would be if he didn't just drop it into the Klisharis? He attached it to one of the walls of the Keli. What's the halacha? Toichli, you know, and Vayikah, do you say? You have to get it inside the Keli. You got it inside the Keli. Or maybe you have to do it in the regular, usual, and customary way. That's not the way you do it. How do you put something in a cup? By attaching it, pinning it to the wall? No, you put it in the cup. So maybe that's the question. Do you have to do it in the ordinary way? Does it not have to be done in the ordinary way? Zok to Gemara, teiku boy, my brav Ashi. Another shayla. Afchi the man of dafki the koyim is par isa the mana mahu. What would be if a koyin is again doing the kabbalah of the mincha, which means he's taking the koyim, he's putting it into a klisharis instead of putting it into the keli in the regular way? What he did was he took the klisharis and he flipped it around. And he put it into the keli on the back side of the keli. Now, how's that even possible? So, hocha b'maya skinon, it's talking about where the bottom of the klisharis, meaning the outside part of the klisharis, had a receptacle. It had a base kibble. So the bottom of it had like a little base kibble that can actually hold something. So you put it into a klisharis, but you put it in tzedek tzedek. Instead of putting it in the regular way, you put it into this base kibble that the bottom of the klisharis had. So it's inside the keli, but it's not in the regular way. So what's the shaila? Do you have to get it into the klisharis? That's the avoid of the kabbalah. You did it. You have to do it in the normal way. Again, the Gemara says, take another shaila from Rapapa. The sheer malay chafnav of the kohen gadol with the keteris on Yom Kippur. Mechukais or gedushais? Is it supposed to be a leveled malay chafnav? Or a heaping malay chafnav. So you have malay chafnav. The kohen gadol did it in the right way. Is it supposed to be heaping, or is it supposed to be perfect? Amalei Rabbah, the Ravashi, Rabbah to Ravashi, Tashmat to Braisa. This shnayla from Rapapa, we know this is not teiku. Malay chafnav shamru loy mechukais for loy gedushis. Rapapa had two tzadim. Mechukais like perfect, or gedushis. It should be heaping. The truth is, it's not mechukais. It's not gedushis. Ela tefufais, which means that it should be a little more than mechukais. But it shouldn't be so much as Gedushas. Not awesome, another halacha, but this halacha requires a little bit of an introduction. The Gemara is going to give us the introduction. So we learned in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Masechta Zvachim, Daf Chof Hey Amen Aleph. It's the Mishnah that introduces what's known in Brisk as the Sugya of Nishpach, says the Mishnah, Nishpach Adam Ala Ritzpa, the Asfai. What would be after the Kohen did the Shechita? So what's supposed to happen? Another Kohen is supposed to be standing, and he's supposed to do the Kabbalah. He's standing with a klisharis, and he's supposed to be mekabel the dam. What would be if he wasn't mekabel the dam? Instead, the dam landed on the floor. So the dam is on the floor now. So the question is, v'asvei, now that you picked it up, are you allowed to do a zrika with it, or are you not allowed to do a zrika with it? Is the dam going to be kosher, or is the dam going to be pasul? So it says the Mishnah, pasul. So if the dam went from the animal, and it landed on the floor, there was never a Kabbalah dam. You can't now pick it off the floor, put it into a klisharis. It's already too late. If, however, the dam ended up in a keli, and then it fell out of the keli onto the floor, then you can pick it up. In other words, if it was nishbach before the Kabbalah, it's going to be possible. If there was a Kabbalah, and then it was nishbach, then it's going to be kosher. This is kachim 101.0.101. Nishbach is a psul if it never had a Kabbalah. If there was a Kabbalah and it fell out of the klisharis, not the Kabbalah, then you could just pick up the dam and you're allowed to do a zrika. So the Gemara says, "Menonim, what's the makartim?" Tana Rabbanu, we learned to the pasuk. It says, "V'lokach midam hapar, midam hanefesh, v'loy midam har." So the first thing we learn from this pasuk is that the Kabbalah, that's what this pasuk is talking about, should be from the dam of the nefesh, not the dam of the har. So it's talking about a specific type of dam. We don't have to know what that means right now. V'loy midam atamtzis. Additionally, not only should it not be from the dam har, but shouldn't even be from the dam atamtzis. Okay. Now it says in the pasuk, midam hapar. What does midam hapar mean? Dam me hapar yikablanu. It means that the Kabbalah has to be directly from the par. Now, the truth is, a little bit of a chiddush. It says, v'lokach midam hapar. What does that teach me? That the dam has to be from the par. Why is this a chiddush? Had it said, v'lokach dam me hapar, it would sound like the Kabbalah has to be directly from the par. But it's not what it says. It says, v'lokach midam hapar. Right, if the mem was not in front of dam, but in front of hapar, oh yeah, very good, v'lokach dam me hapar. You have to do Kabbalah directly from the par. But it doesn't say that. It says, v'lokach midam hapar. The mem is in front of the dam. So the Gemara says, you know what it means? It says, if the mem was written in front of hapar, and the halacha that it's teaching me is v'lokach has to be dam me hapar directly. But if it spills on the floor, it's not good. So the Gemara says, why would you learn that way? Shouldn't it be v'lokach midam hapar? Literally, the mem should be in front of the dam. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because there is sokadaitach midam hapar. Because if you get a darshan the way it's written, is the mem is in front of dam. So what would it mean? Whatever the Torah says from something, you know what it means? It means miktas of something. So then the drasha would be, midam v'afilo miktas dam. That would be the drasha. That would be the implication. That you don't have to do Kabbalah on all the dam, you just have to do Kabbalah on some of the dam. Now we said Kabbalah was done with the dam ha-nefesh, but it means you would only have to do Kabbalah with some of the dam ha-nefesh, you wouldn't have to do Kabbalah with all the dam ha-nefesh. And the Gemara says it can't be, because if I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Kabbalah Tzokshi, 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 May hapar. Oh, and that's a whole different halacha. Shma mina, may midam hapar. Dam me hapar yikablenu. You have to mekabel the dam directly from the par. Dikasavar. What did we just do? Goyrimu maysif in the darshan. This is a move. What we did was we moved the mem from the word dam to the word hapar. So instead of it reading v'lokach midam hapar, we're reading it v'lokach dam me hapar. Now, obviously, you have to hold. You could do something like this. This is like we said. This is a big chiddush. But kasav at the time of this brayso holds goyrin. You can remove a letter from here, delete from this word umaysifin, right? Cut and paste. So you're cutting the mem from midam and you're pasting it to hapar v'darshin, and you make a drasha. That's the makar to the halach of nishbach. So again, the halach is nishbach adam ala ritzpa. If the dam of a carbon fell, you want to scoop it off the ground and do a zrika. Can I do it or can I not do it? It depends. If there was a Kabbalah, then you can do it. If it was nishbach before the Kabbalah, then you cannot do it. What's the makar? Because it says in the Torah, v'lokach midam hapar. We move the mem from the word midam to the word hapar. So we darshan it as if it said v'lokach dam me hapar. Kabbalah has to be directly from the par, which seems to mean that the way Kabbalah works is it has to be directly from the par. So if I didn't do Kabbalah because it was nishbach, so it's going to come out. This carbon's missing the avodah of Kabbalah, and for that reason, it's going to be paused. Okay, what does that have to do with our sugya? Boy, Rapapa. Rapapa had a shayla. Nispazer haktoris me melech ofna mao. What would be if after the Kohen Gadol did his chafino, he has the melech ofna of ktoris, and then all of a sudden it's scattered. Nispazer, right? It went all over the place. So now he wants to pick it up. Could he scoop it up now and bring it as ktoris or not? So what if it's tzadim? Yodei kitzavra behema dam yupsula. Do we look at the hands of the Kohen Gadol as if it's the tzavra of the behema? And just like the dam that was nishbach from the tzavra of the behema, if you pick it up, it's not going to be okay. So too the ktoris, if it was nishbach from the hands of the Kohen Gadol and you pick it up, it's not going to be okay. Oy dilmo ke klisharis dami. Or maybe we look at his hands as a klisharis. And if it's a klisharis, it's like dam that fell out of the klisharis. If the dam poured out of the klisharis, it's kosher. So v'loy psula, it's not going to be possible. And the Gemara says what it said to almost all of Papa's Ibayas, Teiku, we're not sure. Boy, Ira Papa, similar Shiloh, it's getting more and more geshmak. Chishev, bechafinas keteres mal. What would be if while the Kohen Gadol was doing chafina, so he's doing the avoida of Meloy Chafnov, he had a machshava pesula. So, one of the most important ideas when you learn Kachim, it's the first sugya in Kachim, Zvachim Daf Beis, is that machshava, certain bad kavanas, had the ability to mess up a carbon. So, what would be if the Kohen Gadol, while he did chafina, he was chishev? He had a bad machshava. Now Rashi says that the machshava that Rapapa was talking about was he had a machshava's pigle. He had a mind that he's going to be makter the k'toris tomorrow. Meaning, he's doing this on Yom Kippur. And he says, you know what? I'll do it after Yom Kippur. I'm going to do it on Yud Aleph Tishrei instead of on Yom Kippur. This was the machshava. And that was Rapapa's shayla.
What are the two tzadim? Me, I mean, do we say yalef malim malim mincha? We have a gzeir shava that's been talked about in the sugya that maybe equates the malay chafnav of the ketores to the koyimitz of minchas. Ma hasimanya b'machshava, just like b'shas kmitza. If the koyin would have a machshava spigol, it would mess up the whole carbon. Achin hamanya b'machshava. So maybe by the chvina the same thing. Oh, lawyer, maybe not. I'm only Rav Simin Barashi, the Rapapa Tashma. I'll bring you a raya, and this raya is not such a straightforward raya. In fact, it needs a little bit of hesber. It's a big arichas and achrein, and what exactly the raya is. But this is the gemara. This is the raya the gemara said. Hoysef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was moysef. Now the context is a mishnah. And Rav Akiva said, I'll tell you what I heard. He said that ha-soilis, v'ha-ketoiris, emphasis on ketoiris, v'ha-levoina, v'ha-gecholin, shemnog ha-tful yoyim v'miktsasun, pasal eskulon. A tful yoyim is someone that's tamei. He went to the mikvah, but the sun didn't set yet. Someone that was tamei that went to the mikvah did not become tahar until the sunset. So a tful yoim is someone that went to the mikvah, he has tahira, however he doesn't have a complete tahira yet because the sun didn't set yet. So he's a tame, but he's a diluted form of tama. He has a din of a sheni latoma. He has the ability to metama certain things. One of the things he could be metama is he could be metama kachim. So Rabbi Akiva said, Eidos, that if a tful yoim that has the ability to be metama kachim would be metama soilus, ktoiris, levoin and gecholim, the halach is, it would become tamei. But not just that, here's the punchline. His chiddush was, if the tfuyoyim would only touch a part of it, pasal es kulon, the halach is, the entire thing would become pasal. Meaning, touching part of it would be tantamount to touching everything. Now, the reason this is the case is because there's a halacha that when it comes to kachim, kachim that have kedushas haguf, where the guf has kedusha, or in our language, kachim, that's a korban. So the halacha is that there's an idea that if a tefillah touches miktsasan, it's as if he touched kulon. That's unique for things that have kedusha saguf, or in a different nusach, that's unique for things that have a korban. That which means that if a tefillah that touches a little bit of soilus, ketores, mavoin, and gecholin, he has the ability to metama all of it. It means it's not only hektish, but it's a carbon. Okay, says the Gemara, says like this. So, kasok, daid chmid, apostle tful yoyim, apostle namilina. If a tful yoyim has the ability to be metamit, not only be metamit, but say that if it's metamit, miktsasan, it's metamit kulon, must be it's a carbon. If it's a carbon, it should be possible lina, which means that if it stayed overnight, it would have a psolina. Lina means where something was, you were supposed to do avoida with some aspect of kachim, and you didn't do avoida at the time you were supposed to do it. So the halach is it becomes possible. But again, only a carbon becomes possible lina. So if the tful yoyim has the ability to be metamit, the way Rabbi Akiva explained, that means it would be possible lina. Umedalina pasal, pasal nami machshava. And if it's subject to psolina, it should be subject to psol machshava. Because what the Gemara is saying is that what would be the tzad there should be no machshavas pigol by the chafina? There should be a machshavas pigol. There's always pigol, right? Pigol's true for all hakrovas. So why would you think this not? I guess you're clearing. Maybe it's not a carbon. Maybe this ketores didn't have a din of a carbon. But he says, I see it did have a din of a carbon. Because Rabbi Akiva said, if a tefillah touches the ketores, he said a few things. Soilus, ketores, levoin, gecholim. But we need the ketores. He said, clearly, if you would touch the ketores, he'd be metamid. If you touch miktsas, it would be metamid completely. It means it's a psolina. It means it's a machshavas pigol. So lechura, there would be a machshavas pigol. Another boy. Boy, rapapa, chisha, bechatias, gecholim, out. What would be if the Kohen Gadol, while he was shoveling the coals for the Kintoires that he brought in Yom Kippur, he had a Machshavas Pigol. What's the halacha then? Meaning, is that considered an avoida, or is that not considered an avoida? It's different than the Chafina and the Kintoires. The Chafina and the Kintoires, you're doing an avoida in the Kintoires. The Kintoires is the carbon. The Chatias Kecholim, the Kecholim is not the carbon. It's the coals that the carbon is going to be brought on. You're going to take the coals, bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're going to put the Ketores, which is, right, the Ketores is the equivalent of the animal. That's the equivalent of the Dam, of the Koimetz. That is the carbon. The coals is the equivalent, is what it's going to be brought on. So the Rapapa Shaila was, assuming there's a Machshavas Pigol, like we just said, when it comes to the Ketores, but what about the Chatiyas HaGecholim? Machshirei Mitzvah Kemitzvah Damo? You need this as a Hechsher. So does that mean that it's like the real thing? Oh, lawyer, maybe not take it. By my name, Rav Sheishas. They asked Rav Sheishas a question. Hoylach, b'smayl mahu. This was a general question. One of the four Avoides Adam is Hoylach. Shchita, Kabbalah, Hoylach, Mazrika. Avoida had to be done with the right hand. The makar to that, Rashi says, is a Gemara Masechtis Zvachim that says wherever it says in the Torah that you need a kayin, wherever it says in the Torah something has to be done with your etzpa, it always means the right. If a kayin has to do it with his right hand. If it has to be done with a finger, it means the right finger. That's always the halacha.
Now, it's for that reason, they asked Rav Papa, what about halacha? The Torah never said that a kohen has to do halacha. In fact, Torah never even mentions halacha. We know halacha from a drasha. But being that we know halacha from a drasha, so the Torah never used the word kohen. Torah certainly didn't use the word etzba. So here's the question. Halacha, does it have to be done with the right hand? Or maybe it can be done with the left hand? Shchita, zrika, kabbalah is mentioned in the Torah. So that we know for sure it has to be done with the right hand. But the question is, what about halacha? Being that the Torah never mentioned halacha, so maybe it doesn't require the right hand. Amaluhu Rav Sheishas. Rav Sheishas said, I'll bring you a raya from our Mishnah. Not less anach to be a minhoy, the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. When he walked into the Kodesh HaKadosh, so he was holding the shovel that had coals in it in his right hand. Mezakaf, his mother, was holding the cap that had the Torah in it in his left hand. He's walking the calf with his left hand. Oh, so you see clearly that you could do a halacha with your left. Meaning he's doing an avodah. Has he doing an avodah with his left hand? Has he holding the keteris with his left hand? And by the way, we said he should really be holding the keteris in his right hand. The Gemara gave a whole cheshbon why we put it in his left hand. What do you mean the keteris is the ikar of the carbon? Isn't this an avodah? Right, we just said that you could be mefagel while you do the chafina. These are real avodahs that are going on over here. So l'chura, if the chafina is like a kmitza, so walking it into the Kodesh HaKadosh is like halacha. So how's he holding the calf in his left hand? Must be, it's okay to do halacha with the left. I can never do avodah with the left hand. Oh, that's because it always says kayin. Here it doesn't say kayin. Torah never mentioned the word halacha. So that's why you can be done with the left hand. Talk to Gemara right here. But v'nif shalom adetan, why do you bring a raya from this Mishnah? Why not bring a raya from a different Mishnah? Haregel shayimin b'smoil ubeis oir l'chutz. The Mishnah over there is discussing all the kayhanim that were involved in taking the evarim of the Oila on top of the Mizbeach, right? A bunch of different kayhanim. And one of the kayhanim was holding the right foot in his left hand. So you see, he's doing halacha with his left hand. So let's bring a raya from there. So the Gemara says, that's not such a good raya. Because Imi Hasam, had we only had that raya, I mean, I would have thought, Hani Mili halacha d'le ma'akfe kapar. Maybe that's only a halacha of a part of the carbon that's not ma'akfe kapar. The halacha of Deivarim is not ma'akfe kapar. The akhtar of Deivarim is not ma'akfe kapar. That's not a critical part of the avoid. But maybe a halacha of dam, which is ma'akfe kapar, aloy. Kamashmalan, now we have a raya from the Ketoris. The Ketoris is halacha that's ma'akfe kapar, because you have no choice. You have to bring the keteris into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if it's ma'akiv kapara, there it's different, and therefore we were able to bring a raya to the shayla of every single halach. But the Gemara says meisave. I'll ask you a kasha. Zar va'oinen. Shikr u'balmuk. So a zar is someone that's not a kayin. An oinen is someone that lost a loved one and before the kfura. A shikr is self-explanatory. And a balmum is someone that has a mum. So the halacha is bekabala ubehaylacha ubezrika pasal. He can't do kabala, he can't do haylacha, and he can't do zrika. V'chein yoyshev, v'chein smil pasal. And the same is true. If someone is sitting, or if somebody does any one of these avodas with his left hand, pasal. Zokti Gemara tyufta, checkmate. There's no coming back from this, right? This is very, very clear. It's a mefurish nebraisa. A zor, an oinein, a shikr, and a balmum, a yoyshev, and a smug all can't do Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. We just need one thing. That you can't do Halacha with your left hand. That's before you can't do Halacha with your left hand. And if that's the case, it's going to be possible. So let's just revert back. Bo minei Rav Sheishas. This question was posed to Rav Sheishas. Halacha b'smal ma. Could you do Halacha with your left hand? So Rav Sheishas told him, it's a Mishnah. You for sure could do it with your left hand. What's the Mishnah? You see that the Kohen Gadol used to hold the calf in his left hand, so when he brought the Ketoris into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you see, you could do Halacha with your left hand. The Gemara said, Meisavei on Rav Sheishas. Rav Sheishas, it's a Mefurish HaBraisa. You didn't know this Braisa? And the Gemara said, Tiofta. It's ironic, Rav Sheishas was a Sinai. He knew all the Braises. But Rav Sheishas somehow didn't know this Braisa. And the Gemara said, checkmate on Rav Sheishas. But the Gemara says, I have one problem with this. One last Gemara. For Rav Sheishas, who does Isva? The Gemara says, I understand. I know an exchange that happened where Rav Sheishas himself once used this braisa to ask a kash on somebody else. To Amale Rav Sheishas la Amir Rav Chizda. Rav Sheishas once told the maturgaman, the translator of Rav Chizda, by the name of Rav Chizda, he said, go ask Rav Chizda, Hilacha bezar ma. Can a zar do Hilacha or could he not do Hilacha? Do you need a kohen to do Hilacha or not? Amale, so he told him Kshera. So he came back and he told him, yeah, Rav Chizda said that it's kashas. Again, the names matter. Rav Sheishas told Rav Chizda's gabai. Ask Rav Chizda, do me a favor. Gefreg the Rebbe Rav Chizda says, I want to know, is it okay for a czar to do halacha or not? Does halacha? It's an avoda. Shchitas ksher bazar. What about halacha? Could it be done by a czar? So he came back and he told him he could. Umikra misayeni. He said, I have a pasach. It says, Vayishchatu ha-pasach. They brought the carbon pasach. Vayizriku ha-kayhanim yadon. The kayhanim did the zrika. The halevian mafshitim. And the levian were being mafshit. Now it says, Vayizriku ha-kayhanim yadon. The Kohanim did the Zrika and they took it from their hands. If you look at the context of the Pasuk, the people whose hands they took it from were Leviim. So it sounds like the Leviim did the Halacha. Right, the Kohanim did the Zrika, but they got the dam from the Leviim. So Rav Chisda said it's a Pasuk. You see clearly that a Zar can do Zrika because a Levi is a Zar relative to Avodah. Right, what's a Zar? A Zar is someone that can't do. A Zar is not a Yisrael. A Zar is someone that's a stranger, someone that's not supposed to do the Avodah. So if you need a Kohen, a Levi is a Zar. Right? A Kohen is a Zar to the Levi's Avodah. A Kohen is not allowed to do the Avodah of the Leviim. In fact, he's a Zar. A Zar just means you're not the one, you're a foreigner. You're not the one that's supposed to do the Avodah. So if Chizit, you want to know if a Zar is allowed to do Halach, the answer is yeah, it's a Pasuk. Because you see, the Kohanim took the Dan from the Leviim, and they did the Zrika. That means the Leviim were holding it. So Rav Sheshes told the Maturgamon of Rav Chisda. He says, "I have a problem from a Braisa. Zarva Oinen Shikar Balmom. Because all of the Lachah was Zrika. Pasul. The Chin Yoish. The Chin Small Pasul. And he was asking not from the small part, but from the Zar part. You see, Clara, Zar can't do Kabbalah. He can't do Ailacha. He can't do Zrika. What's the Kasha? Rav Sheshes knew the Braisa. This is a Gemara where Rav Sheshes knew the Braisa. So I don't understand. Rav Sheshes here doesn't know the Braisa, and here he does know the Braisa. They asked Rav Sheshes if you could do a Lach of a smile. He didn't know about this Braisa. And then when Rav Sheshes was discussing whether a Zar could do a Lach, he was the one that was finding away from this Braisa. So here's the question. Did Rav Sheshes know the Braisa? Did he not know the Braisa? So the Gemara, originally he didn't know the Braisa. Then they told him about it. And once they told him about it, he knew it. So the Gemara, very poshut. Basa the Shama, other Isve. Originally he didn't know the Braisa. So when they came to Rav Sheshes and they asked him, what's the halacha? Could you do halacha with your left hand? He said, I think so. Kangadol used to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim holding the Ketores in his left hand. It sounds like you could do it. But he said, what do you mean there's a Braisa that you can't do halacha? He says, okay, there's a Braisa, there's a Braisa. But now he had this Braisa and he was waiting to use it. And then he had this exchange with, it sounds like he was setting him up, with the Maturgamon of Rav Chisda. He says, tell me. Ask Rav Chisda, Halacha Bazar, is it okay? Right, there's a little history between Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda. The Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin, when Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda were talking, learning, they used to both treisel. Right, Rav Sheshes was very afraid of Rav Chisda's charifus, and Rav Chisda was very afraid of Rav Sheshes' bekiyus. In fact, Tosfos says that you see from here that Rav Chisda was an oikahar and Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, and Tosfos says that's why whenever there's machlokes Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes, we're passing like Rav Sheshes, because Sinai have oikahar and Sinai yadav, like the Gemara in the end of Hiris and the Gemara in the end of Brachas, but we digress. But the point is that there's a little history there. But anyway, it sounds like he's right. He said, go ask Rav Chisda, tell me, halacha bizar ksheira not. And he came back, he said, ksheira, and he says, no, it's a braisa. But it was only because he knew the braisa, and that's why he was able to use it. But the Gemara asks one more question. But Rav Chisda krokama, I don't understand. Rav Chisda had a pasuk. Chisda didn't just say it. He had a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Vayishchatu ha-pasach, vayizriku ha-koyanim miyodam. The koyanim did this riko. They took it from the hands of the Levim. It sounds like the Levi's holding it. Doesn't it sound like the Levi did the halacha? But if the Kohen is taking the dam from the Levi, doesn't it sound like the Levi did the halacha? The Gemara says, no, the Ovid Maisa Itztabu. He wasn't home. He didn't do the halacha. The Kohen did the halacha. The Levi was just standing there. Maisa Itztabu means he was standing there like just not moving, holding it. He wouldn't move with it because that would involve halacha. So the Kohanim did the Kabbalah. They did the halacha. They got it to the area of where the Zrika was going to happen. Then he turned, they called the Levi, said, Levi, do me a favor, don't move, literally don't move, because that's a problem. Stand in one place and just hold it. When the Kohen's ready for you, he's going to take it. At Gishtanen V'anitztaba, literally, when the Kohen was ready to do the Zrika, he took the dad from the Kohen, from the Levi, and that's when he did the Zrika. Regardless, we're going to stop here. We can continue, but we're going to stop here. The Gemara is going to go Viking with different Ibayas from Rapapa, and we'll pick that up in Yatzah Shem in the next staff.